Welcome to the teaching ministry of Stephen Fraser and Life of Faith Bible Church, an outreach dedicated to helping you triumph in every area of life. Now here's Pastor Fraser with today's message.
Somebody say, yes, Jesus loves me. Aren't you grateful that his love never fails? There's never a love failure with God. He doesn't wake up one day and start having all kinds of negative ideas about you. He just thinks, I don't know what in the world I've gotten myself into. He's humans, man. I just don't know. And then after a while, he kind of snaps out of it and goes, no. Love never fails. Amen. Never weakens, never falls apart. Never has amnesia, forgets what it loves. It loves you. God loves you. And God is love. He can't fail to be himself. He can't fail to be God. He's God all the time. He's God in the morning, God in the afternoon, God when the sun goes down, and then God in the morning again. That's who he is. He's God, and God is love. So love is there in the morning. Love is there in the afternoon. Love is there when the sun goes down. Love is loving you all the time. No matter what. It never fails. You might fail. You might mess up. But that doesn't mean love did. Love never changed. Even though you might feel like you've changed. Things have changed. Love has never changed. God's love for you has never changed. Isn't that amazing? God's love for you has never changed. God has never moved away from us. People move away from him. People move out from home and depart from Father God. They depart from love. But God's not the one leaving. He's not leaving. And if those folks come to their senses and come back, they'll find out love's right there with open arms ready to receive them back. That's just who he is. He's the same all the time. And the Bible says, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever would believe on him would not perish, but have everlasting life. Notice that God so loved the world that he gave. So love is a giver. Love is a giver. And the thing love gives, the primary thing that love gives is the Son of God, is Jesus. Love gives Jesus. God so loved us, he gave us Jesus. And now you and I have received of that love and have become children of love. And Romans 5:5 says that this love of God that gives Jesus has been poured out into our hearts by the Holy Spirit. So if we yield to this love that gives Jesus, that has been poured out into our hearts by the Holy Spirit, what are we going to do? We're going to give Jesus. I said, if we yield to this love that gives Jesus, that has been poured out into our heart by the Holy Spirit, then we're going to give Jesus. If we don't yield to this love that gives Jesus, then we're not going to give Jesus. Well, we could say if we're not giving Jesus, we're not yielding to the love of God that's been given to us. So we want to yield to this love of God. We want to yield to God. We want to yield to the Spirit of God, and we want to give Jesus. There's no greater way to love the world than to give Jesus to the world. There's no greater way to love others than to give Jesus to others. To give Jesus. And we know Jesus is the Word of God. When he was here and speaking of the Old Testament, he said, those words testify of me. They testify of me. So Jesus is the Word of God. So giving the gospel, giving the word of God, which is all about Jesus to the world, is the primary way that we give Jesus to the world. And thus, this is the primary way that we love others. We love others by sharing the good news. Thank God for being a nice person and smiling and making people feel good. You know, just being nice is nice, but it's not necessarily the love of God. You know, there is a human love, and then there's God's love. We've got God's love. It's the love that gives Jesus. That's the love that it is. So we don't want to just limit ourselves to human love, natural human love. We want to walk in this supernatural love of God. How do we do that? Give Jesus. Look to bring Jesus to others. That is the heart of love. That is the heart of God. To let the world know about Jesus. That's God's primary objective in life, in your life, is to get you to give the world Jesus. He wants you to have Jesus. He wants you to have himself. He wants you to have his love. He wants you to have his life. But then he wants you to take the life that you have and bring it to others. That's our great commission, to know him and to make him known. To know him and to make him known. He said, Mark 16, go into all the world and love. Go into all the world and love. Who do you think that's written to? It's written to all of us. Go into all the world, and he didn't quite say it like that. It actually says, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He who believes will be saved. He who does not believe will be condemned. But we could say, go into all the world and love, because that's what love does. It goes and preaches the gospel. It shares the good news with others. And this is for every one of us. Every one of us that calls himself a disciple of Christ, a follower of Jesus. If we're a follower, then we are fishers of men. Because he said, if you follow me, I will make you fishers of men. So if we're not fishers of men, if we're not doing really good at fishing, if the fishing business isn't doing very well, then we got to ask, how well am I following Jesus? Now, I like stuff like that because it helps me to examine myself and helps me to locate where I am and recognize where I need to beef it up. Because we can have all kinds of high-minded ideas about ourselves and think things about ourselves that might not necessarily be true. You know, we live in a very deceptive world. And so people believe lies about things all the time, especially about themselves. And so I don't want to believe lies about myself, so I appreciate things that can help me, tools that'll help me locate myself. Am I a really good follower of Jesus? How's your fishing business doing? How are you doing at reaping this harvest of souls that are out there? How do you want to fulfill God's plan for their life? This is a major part of how we fulfill God's plan for our life, because God's plan for your life involves leading other people to him, causing other people to know about him, helping other people to hear the gospel. That's God's plan for your life. Now, there's a lot of other intricate things involved in God's plan for your life, where you live, where you work, and so forth and so on. There's a lot of details, but everything that God is doing in planning out your life is to take you to the place where you are fulfilling the Great Commission, where you are flowing in the love of God, where you are reaching out with the good news to others. We got to recognize that. It's not just to get you rich. It's not just to get you healthy and well and blessed and happy. He wants all those things for us. We learn about those things all the time, but a big part of the plan is to take us to the place, as we're learning to be healed and blessed and happy and received from him by faith, we're learning, we're being positioned in God's plan to minister the gospel to others. to preach the gospel to others, to declare the good news to others. I want to declare the good news to others. I want to yield to love. I want to walk in the love of God. Can you say amen? How many of you love yourself enough to make sure you are saved? You all love yourself enough to make sure that you are saved, that you are in the kingdom of God. Well, that's good. That's a very good thing. But how about the second commandment? In Mark 11:12-31, Jesus said, and the second like it is this, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. There's no other commandment greater than these. Loving God and loving others as yourself. Do you care about yourself spiritually? Do you care about your eternity? Do you care about your pleasing God? Then you must care also about helping others to make sure they're secure for heaven. Make sure others are saved, because it's not just about ourselves. It's about loving others as we love ourselves. Just in the same way we take care of ourselves. That's why we're here at church tonight, man. We're here to take care of ourselves. Make sure we are spiritually built up. We are spiritually fit. We are right with God. We're set for heaven. Glory be to God. We're fulfilling the plan of God for us. We care about ourselves. Well, in the same way we care about ourselves, we're commanded also to care about others. The same way. So we need to be concerned about their salvation. Just as much as we're concerned about our salvation, we need to be concerned about other people's salvation. Care about where they're at with God. Care about how they're walking in the plan of God for their life. Making sure they're doing what they're supposed to be doing. And, you know, again, a lot of times people, they are hesitant to speak up and share Jesus with other people and talk to others about Jesus. They get very fearful about doing it. But like we talked about last time, if we would step out and yield to this love of God, it would drive out fear. Because the Bible says perfect love casts out fear. And perfect love does what? What is perfect love? Sharing Jesus with others. So sharing Jesus with others is perfect love, and perfect love casts out fear. So, you know, we want the fear to go before we share Jesus. But the Bible tells us that if we'll share Jesus, the fear will go. Now, there's another scripture I think of, too, over in 1 Timothy chapter 3. And it's talking about serving in ministry, serving primarily in the church. But I don't know what we're supposed to be doing here in the church. Sharing Jesus. Sharing Jesus. What's your calling in life? What is your calling in life? Share Jesus. It's really not complicated. That's really what it comes down to. Well, are you a prophet? Are you an evangelist? Are you a... I'm a sharer of Jesus. I mean, really, that's what it really comes down to. Now, there's different gifts and anointings to help us do that, but that's what it's really all about. It's really not about the gift. The gift is just the tools that the Spirit of God gives us to enable us to share Jesus, preach the gospel. And this is something we're all called to do. But here in the church, notice what it says in 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 13. It says, for those who have served well as deacons. Well, what are deacons supposed to do? Share Jesus. Share the gospel. I mean, that's what they do. They share the gospel. It says, those who have served well as deacons obtain for themselves a good standing and great boldness in the faith which is in Christ Jesus. Notice that sharing Jesus makes you bold in faith. Serving God makes you, serving well makes you bold in faith. Because again, if you're serving well, it means you're serving in the love of God. And if you're serving in the love of God, you're serving Jesus to people.
You're representing Jesus to people. You're helping the church direct people to Jesus. In whatever capacity it might be, as a deacon, you might be serving with the children, you might be serving with the youth, you might be doing this little outreach here or this thing here, and whatever you're doing in serving in the church, which is what a deacon does, you are helping to bring Jesus to people. And if you do it well, in other words, you do it in the love of God, you do it by the love of God that's been poured out in your heart by the Holy Spirit, you become more bold. You obtain a good testimony and great boldness. Everybody say great boldness. Man, oh man, I mean the church needs great boldness. Where we are not ashamed, we are not afraid, we're not nervous, and we don't back down. We don't back down from anything. It'll affect you in every area of life. It'll affect you in business. Boldness will affect your business. Boldness will affect you in every area of life. We need to be bold. We don't want to be cowards. We don't want to be timid. We don't want to be intimidated and pushed back. We want to be courageous and bold. How can we build boldness? How can we grow in this boldness, in this fearlessness, and drive out all these demons of fear that try to handcuff us and hold us back? How do we do it? Share Jesus with others. Yield to the love of God that's been poured out into your heart by the Holy Spirit. It's all there. Everything you need is there. Now just begin to yield to it and give it. Give it away. We need to recognize this is the primary purpose for our being here. I said it's the primary purpose for our being here. It's the reason why Jesus hasn't come back yet. Jesus has not come back yet for one reason. It's because there's still more people that need to get saved. It's all about getting other. He's waiting. That's what he's waiting. He's patiently waiting for the harvest of souls, the people that need to be reaped and brought into the kingdom of God before he could come back. Notice what it says over here in James. James 5, verse 7, it says, therefore be patient, brethren, until the coming of the Lord. Everybody say, the coming of the Lord. This is talking about the second coming of Jesus. It's talking about his return. Bless God, he's coming back. He's coming back. And here it's talking about it. It says, therefore be patient, brethren, until the coming of the Lord. See how the farmer waits for the precious fruit of the earth, waiting patiently for it until it receives the early and latter rain. Now, of course, you could take this as just simply an illustration about a farmer waiting for his crops to come in as an example of being patient. But I believe it's saying more there. Jesus is the ultimate farmer. And these souls that need to be, the lost that need to be brought into the kingdom of God, that's the ultimate harvest. That's the ultimate harvest. And this is what God is waiting for. He's waiting for people to be born again and to come into the kingdom of God before he returns. So we got to get busy. God's waiting patiently. He's enduring. He wants to see people saved. He wants to see people brought into the kingdom of God. And just because there is a harvest of souls, and there's a big harvest of souls out there, there's a whole lot of folks that are unsaved. But they're all part of the harvest. They all are to be reaped. We need to gather them into the kingdom of God. And yet just because they're there and they're to be reaped, that doesn't mean they're going to be reaped. There's a lot of people that have not been brought into the kingdom of God that should have been brought into the kingdom of God. And there's a lot of people that still need to be brought into the kingdom of God that have not been brought into the kingdom of God yet. And they might not be brought into the kingdom of God if we don't do our job. We got to get busy. We got to do our job to gather in this harvest. There's a scripture over in Jeremiah chapter 8. Jeremiah the 8th chapter, and in verse 20. It says, the harvest is past. It's over. The summer is ended, and we are not saved. Notice that. He's talking about missing the harvest. People not getting saved, and the harvest is past. The time to be reaped is over. What a terrible thing.
that could happen. That could happen. And I don't want to be responsible for that not happening. You know, Jesus said over in Matthew's gospel, he said the harvest is plenteous as he looked upon all these people that were weary and scattered, like he described, like sheep not having a shepherd. He said all these weary and scattered people. And he said, pray the Lord of the harvest that he would send laborers into his harvest field, for the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. And friend, I got news for you. I believe it's getting fewer. Because even though there are a lot of people calling themselves Christians, there are a lot of people that are getting further and further away from the truth of the gospel. They're not good laborers. I mean, there's good laborers out there, don't get me wrong. And there might be a lot of people out there sharing the gospel, preaching the gospel to people, but they're not very good laborers because their understanding of the gospel is tainted and it's filled with compromise and they got dirty hands and they're out there grabbing the wheat and they're picking the fruit and they got dirty hands and they're putting blemishes on the apples. They're messing up the pears. And I don't know about you, but you know, when we have a bowl of fruit at home, you know, and I pick the fruit out of the bowl and I go to eat it, I don't like green fuzzy stuff on it. You know, this is kiwi, that's different. But I don't like green fuzzy stuff on my oranges. I don't like brown, mushy, gushy spots in my apples. And so, you know, sometimes you have to cut around it, and sometimes, you know, you cut the thing open and it's just rotten on through. I mean, it's an apple. It's an apple, but the thing's rotten. I don't like rotten fruit. And so a lot of fruit is getting damaged out there. It's getting picked, it's getting reaped, but it's getting damaged because the laborers aren't very good. What I'm saying is there might be a lot of laborers out there today, but there's a lack of really good laborers out there that really are living holy, consecrated lives, keeping their hands clean, and their motive is the love of God and not to build a ministry and not to make themselves feel better about themselves. There's all kinds of cults out there that are trying to share their version of the gospel to people so that they score points with God. So that if they win enough people, they themselves can make it to heaven. There's all kinds of selfish, dirty motives by which people share the gospel. But we're looking at a group of folks that have clean hands, love God. And I'm telling you, God needs you big time in his harvest field. He needs you to be fully activated as a laborer in his harvest field. He needs you to get busy because you know the love of God and you're determined to live a life of faith, a life that is pleasing to him. You're not here out of selfish motives for yourself. You know, didn't the Apostle Paul talk about that over in Philippians, that some preach Christ from selfish ambitions and out of envy and all these different things, and the latter out of love? Right? Some minister out of love, some minister out of selfish ambitions. Paul the Apostle himself said, he said, man, I can't find anybody that is like-minded in this except Timothy. I mean, I'm having a tough time finding all the people that I've ministered and raised up. I'm having a hard time finding people whose motives are not selfish. I'm looking for some folks with the right motives. And the right motive is the love of God. And God needs you. He needs you to yield to his love and reach this harvest and bring them in. Because you're the kind of folks that aren't going to damage them. Mess them up. So that they are reaped, but they aren't very pleasing to God in their lives. He wants pleasing, luscious fruit. He wants the precious fruit of the earth, and he wants to be treated precious, and he wants to keep it precious by preserving it with his presence, with his life, with his power. So we got to bring the life and power of Jesus to the world. Amen? We got to keep ourselves cloaked in the power of God. Walk in the Spirit, not living our lives in the flesh, so that we can gather the harvest in and keep it real nice for our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So for some people, their harvest has already come and gone. It's past, and they never got saved. They never got saved. It kind of, Jeremiah 8:20 there kind of infers that there's people that should have been saved, but they didn't get saved. The harvest is past, we're not saved. In other words, it's like they should have been saved, but they never got saved. They could have been saved, but they weren't saved because nobody gathered them in. Do you see how serious this is? I said this is serious business. We need to understand this. We need to really have a wake-up call. I believe that's what God's doing for us right now, just helping us. Let's get back to the basics. Let's understand how urgent it is. How urgent it is to get the gospel out to people. Lives are depending on you. Now, this message isn't to put pressure on you. It's to put faith in you. It's to stir up and activate faith that's on the inside. It's to stir up the love of God that's already in your heart. It's not to sit there and put some kind of burden on you. This isn't about works. Just putting works on you, dirty, you know. That's not what this is. This is the Word of God. This is the heart of God. This is who we are in God. And it should be waking us up to these realities so that we can rise up and be what we're called to be. Do what we're supposed to do. So that we can be fully fulfilled in the purpose and plan of God for our life. Don't you want to live a fulfilled life? A truly fulfilled, happy life is in fulfilling the plan of God for our life. And the primary plan of God for your life while you're here on this earth is to help bring others to Him. Know Him and bring others to Him. Know Him and bring others to Him. Share the good news. Share it, share it, share it. Don't just hoard it up. Don't just store it up. You got to give it out. You got to give it away. You got to tell others. And there's lots of people that need to be told. I said there's lots of people that need to be told. We're not just talking about every once in a while we do something nice for somebody and tell them the good news. No, we're talking about making it a big part of the vision for our life, because it's a big part of God's vision for your life. And you want to align yourself with His vision for your life. So we want to line up with that vision. We want to share the good news. The Bible says over in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 20, now then, we are, this is who we are, ambassadors for Christ. Now watch this. As though God were pleading through us, we implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. Talking about those that aren't right with God, those that are lost, talking about the unsaved. Notice what the Bible says about us. It says we are ambassadors for Christ as though God were pleading through us. How aware are we of this pleading that God is doing through us? Because the Bible says this is what He does. He pleads through us. He pleads and implores those who are not saved to be saved, to be reconciled with God, to get right with God. He's imploring, He's pleading. And you got to stop and say, how much of that am I picking up? How much of that? Because that's His love. That's who He is in us. Are we picking up on it? Are we feeling it? Or are we just totally, is that door totally closed? And we don't, and so we don't even think God really cares all that much, because we're not hearing any pleading. We're not picking up any imploring. We're not picking up any of that. But you can't go by your experience. You got to go by what the Bible says when it comes to God and what he's doing and what he's like. And so if the Bible says he is pleading through you for the world to be saved, if he's pleading through you and you're going, I ain't picking up on that, the Bible's not what's wrong. Our positioning, our thinking is what's wrong. We're not picking up on something that we need to be picking up on. Because it's there. I mean, I believe the Bible, don't you? It's there. So we need to wake up and go, Lord, I don't see you doing this through me. I'm not picking up on even a desire for you to be doing this through me. I mean, it's just, I'm just not even getting that. If that's true, then we need to pray and we need to ask God to help us and say, Lord, help turn me in the right direction. Help me to hear this cry of yours. Help me to hear your voice more clearly. Help me want to hear from God more clearly. See, the problem with that is, you know, we have selective hearing. And so I want to hear from God concerning a lot of things that we want for ourselves personally. And so we're so busy trying to hear that. Lord, do I buy this? Do I sell this? Lord, do I have this? Do I do this? Do I go here? Lord, I need to hear from you about this deal. I need to hear from you about this business. I need to hear from you about this. And we're so kind of wanting to hear this that it's not like, Lord, I need to hear your heart. And I want to be open and in a place where I can pick up what you're saying when it has really nothing to do with me personally, but it has to do with others. A lot of times we don't hear what he wants to say about others or what he wants to do for others because we're so introverted. So we have to recognize that is a problem. That is a common problem because we're here in this world and this world is selfish. And this world is not helping us to walk in the love of God every day. Everything in this world is doing everything it can to keep us from recognizing the love of God and yielding to it. But it's there. Love's calling out. Love's calling out. Love's calling out for the unsaved to be saved. Love's calling out to the lost to be reconciled to God. Love's crying out, crying out. And that love is in us. It needs expression through us. God wants it to have expression through you. But again, if we don't look there, we'll never pick up on it. You know, just like remember when Moses was out there on the backside of the desert and God appeared in a burning bush. Remember, he didn't have the Bible. He wrote the first 5 books of the Bible. So he didn't have a Bible. So God had to come in some other way. With you, you don't need a burning bush. You got the Bible. You got the burning Bible. But he didn't have that. And so God appeared in a burning bush, and he was walking by, and he looked, and this thing caught his attention. But, you know, he's a busy man. He's got a lot to do. I mean, he's focused. I mean, the time is short. The sun's getting ready to go down. I got lots to do. I got places to go, people to see out here. I got sheep to feed, and I got to get the harvest in over here. Talking about natural things. Got to pick the figs and get them in, and, you know, all this kind of stuff. Dare not be late for dinner. You know, he had a pretty tough wife. Moses did. You can read about it. And so, you know, he's out there. He's a busy man. But the Bible says he stopped and he looked and he said, I will now turn aside and see why this bush burns and is not consumed. And then the Bible says, when the Lord saw that he turned aside to look, the Lord called out to him. And spoke to him. So it wasn't until the Lord got his attention that he heard from God. And what did God talk to him about? The plan of God to go back to Egypt, which is a type of the world of the unsaved, the world of the unsaved, to go back to Egypt and deliver his people out of darkness.
But he wouldn't have heard that had he not turned aside, because the Bible's clear. It says, when the Lord saw that he turned aside to look, the Lord spoke. So I believe the Lord's trying to get our attention tonight. He's trying to get our attention. It might not be a burning bush. It might not be a great burning bush. But he's trying to get his attention, our attention tonight with the word. And if we'll turn aside from the direction we've been going and the thoughts that we've been thinking on, if we'll turn aside and begin to think, wait a second, souls, Egypt, the lost, Pharaoh, the devil, delivering people. I got to get focused on this. I got to move. When the Lord sees that you turn aside to look in that direction, if you'll turn aside from your busyness and what you're always focused on to look in this direction, all of a sudden you'll start hearing that cry. You'll start hearing his plead for the world to be saved, for the world to be lost, for the world of the lost to be saved. He's crying out. We just got to hear it. Can you say amen? So ask the Lord right now. Say, Lord, help me to turn aside. I want to yield to your heart. I want to know your heart for the harvest. Jesus said in John, the 4th chapter, in verse 35, he says, do you not say there are yet 4 months and then comes the harvest? Behold, I say to you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, that they are white for a harvest. In other words, it's ready. It's ready. But we got to lift up our eyes, like Moses. We got to lift up our eyes and look on the fields. See, a lot of folks aren't looking on the fields. If we don't lift up our eyes beyond ourselves, we won't see the fields. We'll see people, obstacles, folks with issues, people that are annoying. But if we don't lift up our eyes and look beyond ourselves, we won't see the fields as God sees them. We won't see the harvest, the precious fruit of the earth. We'll see people cutting us off in traffic, cutting us in line. We'll see people that talk too much, and we just want to get out of their presence. We'll see all kinds of things, but we won't see the field. So we got to follow Jesus' advice. We got to lift up our eyes beyond ourselves and look. Look, I'll now turn aside and look. I want to see the fields. I want to see beyond me. I want to see beyond my needs. And the truth of the matter is, if we'll focus more on being a blessing than being blessed, we'll be blessed. That's a big way to get blessed. But a lot of folks are focused on being blessed, getting the blessing. Well, a big part in getting the blessing is being a blessing. With the blessing, you already are. And you have Jesus. Yeah, but I don't know a lot. I don't know the Bible like you. Nobody said you had to know the Bible like somebody else. Do you know Jesus? Well, not very well. Do you know Jesus enough to be saved? Yes. Share him. Share him. People don't need a whole lot of light. I said they don't need a whole lot of light. I mean, all you have to do is just say the name of Jesus and demons take off. I mean, you don't have to be a Bible scholar and quote lots of scriptures to deal with the devil. You don't have to come with holy water and garlic and a lot of crosses and do a lot of things to try to get people saved. All you got to do is walk in and go, Jesus. Jesus. That's all it takes. And all the powers of hell go to pieces and start running and scattering and start letting go of their prisoners, leaving them there for you to just pick them up and just walk them towards Jesus. Just say his name, bless God. Speak up, share the good news, tell people how good Jesus has been to you. That's all it takes. Start there. Then we can go on from there and do more as it's needed. But look for every opportunity. Every opportunity. But there was a couple instances just this week where, you know, I had my plan. I was going, and I met a guy that was unsaved. And as soon as we came into each other's presence, all I could think about is leading him to Jesus. Leading him to Jesus. So he talked about some things. He said some things. And then I just said, well, where are you at with your relationship with God? And that's how I just dove in. Where are you at with your relationship with God? And for the next few minutes, I shared Jesus with him. And he was like, I never heard it like that before. It was very simple. Simple message of salvation, how we get saved. Just sharing the gospel with him. There's a couple instances like that this week. But we're looking for those opportunities. We're looking to get people saved. I said, we're looking for it. Because we're seeing the fields. And we want to bring people into the kingdom of God. God's plan for your life involves positioning you to reap the precious fruit of the earth. Notice over in Genesis chapter 50. How many people know the story of Joseph? And how Joseph was taken and he was, you know, his brothers were jealous of him. And they sold him off as a slave. And then he ended up being lied about and he was thrown in prison. And then after being in prison, next thing you know, he's promoted to the palace. And now he's there and he's like the most powerful ruler in the land next to Pharaoh. And he makes this statement, Joseph, you think about all the things that he went through, all the stuff that happened to him. I mean, prison, a slave, all these terrible things. I mean, he had it tough. But then he gets the understanding of his life after he's gotten past all these things. And this is why God's using him in such a mighty way. He makes this statement over in Genesis 50, verse 20. Talking to his brothers. He says, but as for you, you meant evil against me. But God meant it for good. In order to bring it about, as it is this day, to save many people alive. See, God's whole plan for my life from the very beginning, while I was still living at home with Daddy and the rest of you, and all the things that I've gone through, it has brought me to this place right here, this great place of power. I mean, I've been in the high places, the low places, and real high places. Real low places and real high places. But he said, now I understand God's whole purpose for everything he was trying to work out in my life. It was to get me into a position where I would save people, many people, alive. And it's the same for you and I. But if we're not aware of that, if we're deaf to that, our eyes are closed to that, we're not seeing that, and we've turned our gospel into a bless me gospel only. Bless me only gospel. Now, it's a bless me gospel, but it's not a bless me only gospel. You understand? It's make me a blessing gospel. Make me a blessing gospel. Well, to make you a blessing, I got to bless you. See? God's got to bless you to make you a blessing. We've got to watch about turning it into this self-seeking gospel. We got to realize that if our eyes are closed and we're deaf to this cry of God for the world and the ultimate plan and purpose he has for us in this world, which is to bring in the harvest, then we're going to find ourselves going through some what might feel like imprisonment, some time as a slave, times of great struggling in life. If we can't recognize God's purpose and plan for our life, if we don't recognize, we will fight it. We will fight. And Joseph fought it most of his life. And I'm not going to get into all the details. I could prove it to you from the scripture. He fought God's plan. He was a great guy, but he was fighting God's plan for that. He was all about him. His gift to interpret dreams was all about him. It was all about him being exalted. It was all about him being blessed. And God's, how God's going to use me. That's what got him in trouble in the beginning. He begins to brag to his brothers about his dreams. You know, this is how God's going to use me. You're all going to bow down to me someday. Not good. I believe there was an easier way for him to get to his destination. But he went the hard way because he was living a selfish life. He loved God. He feared God, but he lived a selfish life. He wasn't harvest-minded. He wasn't winning souls-minded. But at the end of his life, he goes, hey, listen, it's all about saving many people. It's all about saving lots of people. That's what it's all about. And so even his position, his great and high position that he had, it didn't go to his head. He didn't get lifted up in pride with it. Here he is in great humility. He's able to handle the fame, the fortune, the power that was given to him. Why? Because he understood his purpose. It was love. It was saving people. It was about saving people. So we have to recognize that. It's about saving people. I think of another guy. His name was Jonah. God called him to go save a city. It was a whole city called, the name of the city was Nineveh. And God wanted him to go to Nineveh and save that city. Preach to it. Preach to it. And this is what God says to him over in Jonah chapter 1, verse 2. Arise. Go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry out against it. For their wickedness has come up before me. When he heard that, he went and bought a ticket to get on a cruise liner and go to a place called Tarsus, which was in the opposite direction of Nineveh. He's like, no, I'm going somewhere else. Thank you very much. And he fought what God told him to go do. Well, as a result of that, you know the story. He got out there and Moby Dick found him. And so, you know, he gets thrown out of the boat. He gets swallowed up by a whale. Then the whale couldn't handle him. And spit him, vomited him out on dry land. I mean, he had a rough time. He had a rough time. I mean, it went from the storm to the belly of a whale. It only got worse. Now he's lying there. He gets up on the beach. Half his flesh is probably eaten up from the stomach acids of that whale. Yeah, you probably see bone, you know. He probably looked like a horror flick when he walked into Nineveh. He stood up. He said, God, I need to hear from you. God, what do you want me to do? And so God answers him in Jonah chapter 3, verse 2. Arise. Go to Nineveh, that great city, and preach to it the message that I shall tell you. Nothing's changed. Nothing. God, what do you want me to do? I can tell you what he wants you to do. Can I tell you, church, what he wants you to do? Arise. Go and preach to this city that God placed you in. Go out there and give him the message that he tells you. Share the good news. Tell him about Jesus. I really don't want to do that. All right, well, we'll see you halfway to Tarsus. We'll see how that works out for you. We'll see how that works out for you.
Pastor, I just feel like I've been vomited on all week.
Well, I just feel like I've been suffering. Things have just been eating away at me.
Sounds like stomach acid.
It's been so tough. I feel like I'm in such a dark place.
Well,
just so confused.
Well, you doing what he told you to do?
What did he tell me to do?
Go to Louisville, that great city. See, why does God have you in Louisville? Why does he have you in Louisville? Well, so I could prosper and be blessed. It's a really nice city to live in. You know, the pollution is low. And somebody was just telling me yesterday, the water is great in Louisville, by the way. It's great water.
He told me you don't even need a filter. I was like, no, I don't think so. I'll still use my filter, but it's a great city. It's a great city. Thank God for the water. But how about the water of the word? How about giving somebody a drink? How about sharing the good news with other people? You think that might have something to do with you being here? There's people that need you here in Louisville. Just like in Nineveh, they needed Jonah. Well, Jonah's like, let him have you. Lord, use somebody else. Use somebody that lives in Nineveh. I don't live in Nineveh. Why are you sending me to Nineveh? Have somebody else preach the gospel in Nineveh. God's like, they won't. I need you to go over there. They're not. There's nobody in there preaching the gospel. I need you. See, a lot of times we think somebody else will just do it. Well, God's got a lot of other people, and you know, he can use any of them, can he? Can he? If it's hard for him to use you, what makes you think it's easy for him to get somebody else to do it? God needs you. God needs us. He needs us to lift up our voice, to give voice to his cry for the people to be saved. Can you say amen? So then Jonah does go in there, and you know, he preaches the gospel, and the whole place repents. The whole city repents at the preaching of Jonah. This man goes in there. Probably looked like I said, the dawn of the living dead, you know. He comes walking in there, and he starts preaching the gospel to these people. And the whole city repents. Think about that. One man preached, and the whole city repented. And he wasn't believing for it. He didn't go into that city and go, God, I'm believing for thousands of souls that are going to get saved in this crusade tonight. I got prayer warriors ready to go. We are ready. We are believing God. We've been handing out prayer requests to everybody to get in agreement with us that souls are going to be brought into the kingdom of God. When I go into Nineveh and I open my mouth, people are going to get convicted. People are going to come to repentance. We're going to have an altar call like you've never seen before because we are in faith about this. I'm believing, God, would you agree with me, brother, that we can get these people saved? He went in there, he didn't want them saved. He wanted them all to go to hell. He said as much. He hated them. He hated those people and what they had done to Israel in the past. And he had a problem. But he went in there and he preached to them. He didn't even want them to get saved, and he still preached to them, and the whole place repented. It wasn't on his faith. It was just the gospel. Because Romans 1:16 says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God unto salvation. You don't even need a whole lot of faith. All you got to do is just share the good news. Share the good news. And the good news will do the work. Because God is anxiously looking to bring people to repentance, looking to bring light to people, looking to convict people and bring them out of the darkness. He's looking to do it. He don't need a whole lot from you and I. He just needs us to cooperate. He just needs us to yield. Give a little drink of water. And then as you do it, you know, it can get addictive. And next thing you know, you just want to give and give and give and give the good news. Just give Jesus to people. Because the more you do it, the bolder you get. And the bolder you get, the more confident you get. Praise God, the more fearless you get. And then the more you do it, you find out the more you're getting blessed. And the more light and understanding you're getting on your life to be blessed. This is what God's called us to do. How many people are going to do it? He's given you the Great Commission. It's not an option. It's a mandate from heaven for you. It's his plan for your life. He said, go into all the world and preach the gospel. That's what he said to you. He said it to you. He said it to me. And that's what we're going to do. Can you say amen? Somebody say, I'm a preacher of the gospel. I'm going to share the good news. When? Now. See, today's the day. What does the Bible say over in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 2? It says, in an acceptable time I've heard you, and in the day of salvation I have helped you. Behold, now is the acceptable time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Now, today is the day. This is it. Not tomorrow. Let's not put it off anymore. Let's get it now. I said, let's get it now. Tomorrow will be tomorrow. When we get to tomorrow, it'll be today. And we'll say today. Now. Now is the day. This is the time for salvation. This is the time to preach the gospel. The harvest is white. The harvest is ready. Jesus is waiting. He's waiting for the precious fruit of the earth. He's looking for laborers that will yield to his love and bring in this precious fruit. How are people going to do it? Say, I'm a fisher. I'm a harvester. That's who we are. That's who we are. And if we don't care about doing that, then, you know, don't worry about anything else when it comes to the plan of God for your life. Because everything hinges on that. And if we're not willing to hear that, well, I don't really want to hear this. This isn't what I came here for. I mean, I've got problems, Pastor. Do you understand? I got bills. I got issues. And I need answers. I need answers. It's right here. It's right here. We just found our answer. Be the light of the world. Let your light shine. Don't hide it under a bushel. Set it up on a lampstand. Open your mouth. Tell the good news. Share it with others. You'll be amazed at how things will clear up for you. It's amazing. I said, it's amazing. Yeah, it's amazing. I've had people where, you know, they're dealing with like depression. They just felt so depressed. And then somebody who was depressed called them and said, I'm so depressed. I need help. And they started saying things that provoked them. And they heard what they were saying. They were like, well, now, wait a second, Jesus. And they started sharing Jesus to them. And as they shared Jesus to the depressed person, they themselves found that they weren't depressed anymore. Isn't that amazing? Next thing you know, they felt good. Sharing good news with others. Sharing good news with others will make you feel good. So if you're feeling down, lift somebody up. Amen. If you're feeling down, lift up Jesus. Share Jesus with others. You won't walk away depressed. You'll feel good. You know, even when you're rejected, you still feel good about it. I mean, you know, you don't like, no one likes being rejected or persecuted or anything like that, but you know you did your job. You did what God called you to do. And he'll comfort you. And he'll bless you. And you'll know it. Because you did what was in his heart for you to do. Can you say amen? Hallelujah! Come on, stand on your feet with me tonight. Let's thank the Lord.
That concludes this message. For more information about Life of Faith Bible Church or Stephen Fraser Ministries, go to our website at lofbc.org. While you're there, be sure to check out the many other teaching series and books by Stephen Fraser. That website again is lofbc.org. And you can always call 888-542-2555. We trust today's message has encouraged your faith and strengthened your spirit to live the victorious life. And until next time, remember, we always triumph and we always win.